Welcome to Gardening Talk back on to a new RFM. Greg Richard joined by Judy Sharp once again. Good afternoon, Judy.
Good afternoon, Greg.
You seemed a bit surprised when I said 22 degrees.
Well, I did because, you know, I don't come from Cook's. I don't drive out from Cook's Hill, but I drive out from
That's what it says on the screen. I can't.
Well, you know, my car was actually saying 30 when I was coming past the Martyr.
Right. Well, it might be 30 around here.
Might be. Okay.
Judy, what do you got lined up for us today?
Okay. Lots of different things we need to discuss. Hippiastrums, Cymbidium orchids. We need to talk about passion fruit and mangoes, budworm on your roses.
All right, budworm.
Oh, that's a nasty little creature. We'll talk about that in a little while. New South Wales Christmas bush I'd like to talk about today, and hydrangeas if we don't get any callers. But, you know, and then again I thought, you must be about to tell us all about chilies now. The weather's warming up.
Yes, well, actually there's a few coming on there now. There's a few.
Good, good.
We're getting there with them.
Good, excellent.
And we've got Colin from Conjuwoy, and he's got an update about these stink bugs for us.
Hello, Colin. Welcome back. We haven't spoken to you since October.
Has it been that? Oh, no, that'll be about right.
Yeah, I thought so, yes. Yeah, I've got a good memory for little things like stink bugs.
Yeah, it's a bit hard to forget that.
What's the latest, Colin?
Well, the 12 of our trees, which 10 of them had the stink bugs very, just thick as. Three sprays with the magic airy dishwashing liquid and completely annihilated them.
Right, okay.
Probably 10 days to 2 weeks later, we spent a good hour, the two of us, looking over the trees, and we found one lonely stink beetle, which I imagine just flew in from somewhere.
Yeah, okay. So, look, it's obviously that fairy green does the job.
Yeah, just the original. And I've got to say, they came on that quick that they actually annihilated two of the trees. Almost no leaves left on them whatsoever.
Which
was a real shame because all the trees had flowered and fruit had set, and obviously they dropped all the fruit after the leaves all left. But not to worry, we're back on track. I assume this is right, just feeding them food to leaves, not so much the citrus. And they're covered in new growth. So.
Oh, that's excellent. Yeah, and, you know, we have been passing out your recipe. You weren't the original one, but you certainly updated us with the measurements. And, you know, it's amazing how many people have rung up about that stink bug recipe.
So is that the right thing to do, not feed them anything but food for the moment to get the leaves back growing?
Oh, look, I don't think it would hurt. I mean, I know we're suddenly, welcome spring all of a sudden because we're getting the high temperatures. Look, just be careful what you feed with. And particularly, I was going to talk to you about today, mangoes and passion fruit. It is time to give them sulphate of potash. So perhaps with all your fruiting trees, just give them some sulphate of potash.
Yeah, I do tend to eat the potash
up. Yeah, that's not going to burn.
No, and if we do get lots of rain here, they get some more. So
Yeah,
I think it was the Flourish for Green, and I think I gave them a dose of power feed.
Oh, yes, right, okay, yep.
Which normally I do exactly what you say with the what do you call it? The chook manure, then the...
Oh, yes, yeah, followed by the fertiliser, yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
At least so, but, it definitely works, and I've noted it on my calendar for next year to be spraying them earlier rather than later.
Okay, and can you give us a ring next year as a reminder?
Oh, I can do that, and just incidentally, every now and then I do tend to listen to your podcast, and I listened to the same ones at the same time last year, and the exact same week. You remember a few weeks back someone rang you about having the ants in their strawberries eating them?
Oh, yes, we did.
Yes, well, I had the same problem. I took your advice, and I can't remember the name of the product, but pyrethrum?
Pyrethrum it was, yes, that was last week. Yes. Well done, Colin. I really appreciate your call. So give us a ring next year, please, or even earlier if you'd like to, dear, and have a lovely Christmas.
You too, Judy. And by the way, did you get my photo? I sent another photo of one of those boxes just to...
Yeah, we're still trying to solve that mystery.
Well, I think that's Scott's domain.
I think that's Scott Sharp's domain, and I'll have to chase him up on it, Colin.
I have to crack the whip on that one, I think, Judy.
Crack the whip, yeah.
Because I got my partner to send it to try something different, so that's where they're going to Scott, though.
Okay, yeah, they're going to Scott, so I'll just chase him up. Thank you very much, Colin.
Cheers. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
We've got Carol now from Newcastle, and she's got some pests on a hibiscus.
Oh, hello, Carol.
Hi, Judy. How are you doing?
Very well. And what kind of pests are they?
They're little tiny, weeny black dots, and they're on the leaves and on the buds. And I've been using pest oil, but it doesn't seem to be getting rid of them.
Okay, so would it be scale? Is it black scale, do you know?
Darling, I don't know. I love it when you talk dirty.
Oh, that's a lovely comment, Carol. Okay, let's hit them with pyrethrum, common owl pyrethrum.
Oh, yes, you're just speaking about that to the previous gentleman.
Yes, and you live in Newcastle, so I can assure you you'd get it down probably at the junction.
Right, that's good. And I've been holding off so last week, and the gentleman just recently spoke about the flourish for flowering, so I'll be buying flourish and pyrethrum.
Yes, that's well done. Thanks, Carol. Let us know how you go. But it is, you know, it's an unusual pest for hibiscus. Generally, they get the little snails on them.
Yeah, I don't have the snails, but I've had these little black creatures or spots on quite a number of my hibiscus because they live on the balcony and it faces north.
Uh-huh.
And it's just... And I did speak to you earlier about a friend, a penny. It's now gone to God because he said it was we have a bit of salt. We get because we're quite close to the water.
Ah, yes.
And, but the hibiscus just love it. And I've actually grown quite a number of them from where I've helped the gardeners out and used honey as my growing to sort of get it started.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So you've been propagating them yourself?
Some of them, yes, I have.
But well done.
The one that's got the little black creatures on it, I actually bought that one and I was in Bunnings today and they don't have any hibiscus at all. They've had none since the beginning of spring.
Well...
Very disappointing.
Mm. Well, you know, you might have to go to a nursery, I think, my dear.
Well, I'm going to, but unfortunately there's not a lot around these days. The lass at Bunnings did remind me if there was one in Cook's Hill. I said, no, darling, that's gone. Been gone for quite some time. And, of course, that was you.
Oh, it was. Oh, Carol, good luck with that and give us a ring and let us know how it goes. But I'm sure the pyrethrum might do the job for you.
Lovely. Thank you so much, Judy.
Thank you, Carol. Bye.
We've got Mike from Swansea. And he's got a question about the dreaded onion weeds.
Oh, Mike, what answer am I going to give you for this one?
No, you don't have to give me an answer.
Oh, you know it.
Yeah, well, I've been trying it with Bindi and getting great results.
With Bindi?
Yeah, just Bindi. Yeah.
Good on you.
Yeah, it's growing in the lawn, growing, you know, shoots coming up. Every time I sprayed it with Bindi, it killed that. And then I had some in my garden and I carefully spilled that, sprayed that and killed it. So, you know, I hear Scott going on, you know, all the different ways of brushing it on and on. And I'm thinking, what am I doing right?
Now, can I ask you a question, Mike? Did you have any trouble buying Bindi?
No.
Not at
really.
All, no. Right, okay, well, that's interesting.
I had it in my cupboard.
Right, okay. Yeah, but that's all right. You have been able to get it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, and I haven't... I've never used Bindi to spray on onion weed, but, yeah, certainly I'll be giving that a go. So, Mike, can I ask you what kind of grass you sprayed it on?
On Queensland Blue.
Queensland blue. Oh, that's interesting. That's a difficult grass to grow.
Well, it's funny out here at Swansea, it's taken over everywhere. I had all buffalo, and then bits of Queensland blue came into it, and now it's 80% Queensland blue. It's taken over from the buffalo. But any trouble. And other people I talk to when I see around Swansea, the same thing's happened. Queensland blue has just taken over everywhere.
Okay, well, it sounds like it's resilient to that that particular poison, the bindi.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to bother us at all.
Excellent. Okay, well, we'll comment on that with tongue in cheek when someone rings us. And
it should be the same because I've sprayed it in the buffalo as well. So,
and it didn't worry the buffalo?
No.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah. Rightio. Miracles do happen, Mike.
Yeah, well, there's only the one product that they say not to use on the buffalo. And
And that's,
I've been using that.
Actually,
I'm thinking of spraying the buffalo now to try and get rid of it because it sort of slows it. That other product slowly kills it.
It does,
Unless the Queensland blue just have its own way.
Yeah, well, that's very good, Mike. Always interesting to hear different comments from different listeners about their garden. So I really appreciate you ringing today, Mike.
Okay, Judy, nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you too. Thank you, Mike. Bye.
Bye.
We've got Greg now from Macquarie Kills. He wants to know if you can put wood chips for roses.
Oh, Greg, what do you think my answer's going to be for this one?
Oh, I'm not sure because I remember being told by a gardener there were some particular wood chips not to use around the roses and I couldn't remember what they were, but I've got some that I had a friend come and do some work for me and she put these wood chips on the rose bed and they haven't affected the roses at all, but I don't know what they were.
Right, okay. Are you able to contact her and find out for future?
Yeah, I'll have to do that, I suppose.
Yeah. Look,
I heard you on the radio and I thought, well, I'll call and ask.
Yeah, no, you're quite welcome, Greg. Look, the only thing I put around my roses is sugarcane. And and I have to say my roses have been wonderful this year. I don't know why this year than other years. Maybe, I thought they would have been hating how much rain we've been getting. But I just, I wonder if the wood chips, they couldn't have been eucalypts, I wouldn't imagine. See, it's not the native ones you use. So maybe it'll be interesting when you find out from her and give us a ring back.
Yeah, I'll see if I can track her down and ask her what kind of wood chip she used.
Well, you better tell her she's not in trouble. We just want to know for future.
That's right. Yeah, and I need to get something on it because they've got pretty. It's been at least 2 years since she did that. So I just need to put something there now to
stop the weeds,
and keep the weeds down.
Yeah, well, if you can't contact her, just use your sugar cane.
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
Fabulous. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you
for the call. Have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you, Greg. I really appreciate that.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM. If you've got a question for Judy Sharp, 49216 216. We've got Jeff from Stockton. He's got a question about
Crocus.
I was close.
You were close, Greg. Look, you're getting so knowledgeable now. You've been doing this program for years. How are you, Jeff?
Good, thank you, Judy. Yes, I've been meaning to ring you up a fair while ago, but I've planted these crocus. They're just on the front of my fence up along the footpath, and they've been in quite a long time, but they're pretty sad looking now. They're kind of wilting and brown. And what happens, every now and again they come good, but I can't remember what season, but they're not looking real good now.
Okay, so you would be getting salt there on them, Jeff, would you?
Yeah, about 200 metres off the beach.
Yeah. Well, that's your browning probably, dear, but they are called autumn crocus for a reason.
Mm.
So they should flower in autumn.
Okay.
Yeah, but I really think you might have to go out about every 3 days and maybe hose the salt off.
Okay, well, I've got Spearpoint water and the sprinklers are set up there, so they get a fairly good soaking every now and again.
So the Spearpoint wouldn't have any salt in it?
No. Yeah, pretty clean. Yep.
Right, okay. Well, maybe there isn't any easy answer, but I think that that's what's happening. It's the salt blowing in. It comes in, and then when the wind blows, that's what burns it in. You would realise that living in Stockton. It doesn't come in on the wind. It just drifts in, you know, from the sea, and then a wind comes and it burns it in if it's on there.
I'm just looking at them now. Yeah, they are kind of a bit yellowy and dripped all down, but when they do come back, you know, they're quite bushy and green.
Yeah, well, see, they are called autumn crocus, so they might be in their downtime, eh?
Yeah, okay, so don't do anything, just hopefully.
I wouldn't, if as long as they're coming green for you in time to flower, that's the most important thing.
Yep, okay. All right, thanks for that, Judy.
You're welcome, bye.
Bye.
It's Gardening Talk back on 2NURFM 103.7, and we've got Mary from Budgieroy, and she's got some issues with the old fish fern.
Hello, Mary.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Oh, very well, thank you.
That's good. I've bought some Roundup spray. I've got all this fish fern and different other ferns, maidenhair, different other ferns, but I've got wood down the bottom of my house and they're growing out through the wood. Would the Roundup, if I sprayed it all with Roundup, would that get rid of it?
Yeah, but do you want to get rid of it all? You don't want to get rid of the maidenhair.
Yeah, but it's right under the house in the dark.
Oh, right, okay. Well, I'm trying to think now. I don't wonder how well the Roundup will go in the dark.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
They're all growing out in between the gaps of the wood.
Right, okay.
Ferns and that.
Yeah, well, I would have suggested that to you, but I don't know. Look, what you'll have to do, have you already purchased it?
The Roundup, yes.
You have. Okay, well, read the instructions, but I'm sure it probably is going to need some sun to work.
Well, okay, all right. I've got one of the pieces of wood off. We're going to spray in that gap, but as I say, it is dark under there.
Yeah, well, it's going to get really hot when, Greg?
Yeah, tomorrow and Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, okay, so maybe wait till tomorrow or Wednesday and really hope that the heat might do it.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay.
Okay, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Mary. Good luck with it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, bye.
We've got Gail now from Fletcher. She's got a question about camellias.
Hello, Gail.
Hi, Judy, how are you?
Very, very good, thank you.
That's good. Thank you for taking my call.
You are welcome, and about my favourite subject anyway. I love camellias like I like roses.
Yeah, well, we loved our camellia too. We moved into this house nearly 5 years ago, and it was a newish house and it had been beautifully landscaped. And it had a relatively young camellia in the front yard, which looked supremely healthy, and each year for 3 years it flowered beautifully. And I assume it was a Susquehanna, it was pink flowers.
Right.
But then one year, the fourth year, one of the lower branches went totally brown. The whole branch died.
Right.
So we cut it off and slowly, every few weeks, another branch would die until the whole plant died. Then in the backyard, we had three Pittosporum shrubs.
Right.
That we had planted ourselves after we'd moved in. So they'd been there about 3 years and they were about up to a metre tall each one. So all looking very healthy. And then they started to get these dying branches as well. So they were in the middle of a strip garden with lots of natives and other shrubs and behind them were lily pillies, but it was only the pittosporum that had the branches, and we ended up having to take out all three pittosporum because they had so many dead branches.
Gail, could I just ask you... could I ask you before we move on to the camellia, with the pittosporum, that's all right. I wasn't correcting you. I was correcting it in my mind, so I give you the right advice. Did you notice anything on the roots?
No. Did you?
No little white witchetty-looking grubs?
Okay, I'll just check with my husband. Did you notice anything on the root?
No, I didn't.
No?
No. Okay.
Well, it was just, they were very just dry, bright, totally brown looking. There was no bugs or anything like that.
They were just.
And I was looking up Google, of course, to see what I could figure out. And I thought maybe it was some sort of canker, but other than that, I had absolutely no idea. So that's why I'm calling.
Yes,
to put another camellia in, but we're a bit hesitant to put it in because it would have to go in the same place.
Well, the only other thing that could be happening with your camellia could be borers. And you didn't notice any borers in the pittosporum?
No.
So they would be in the brown branch and you would see like a sawdust with it.
No.
No, we didn't see that,
no. Well, that sounds a real mystery one. And you were going to plant the camellia where you had it or where the pittosporums were?
No, where we had the camellia.
That
was sort of in the front yard. There's a crepe myrtle that's probably about 6 or 7 years old.
Right.
And then in the next little bay there's an azalea that's still not very tall.
Right.
And then was the camellia. So they were the only things that were there. And then there were a few hedgy type things like maruja and fox hedges.
Right.
But the pittosporum were quite a way away in the backyard.
Right.
And I couldn't work out why it would pick on those two and not touch anything else. So
it really is a mystery one. But with your camellia, did it have fine leaves, small leaves?
Fine leaves. It just looked totally like it had for the last 3 years.
Yeah, so no, I'm trying to work out if it's...
green leaves.
You're sure it was a Sasanqua?
No, I'm not sure because I don't know much about camellias, but from what I've seen, it looked like... It didn't look like a japonica from what I've seen.
Right, okay, because the japonicas, of course, don't like to be in the full sun. That's what I was working up to, whereas your Sasanquas do.
Right. Well, it seemed happy for 3 years where it was. It was supremely, like, very, very healthy.
Okay, we now have to look what was below the soil that had been put there to plant the camellia. I wonder if it was clay under there.
Don't know.
Well, it sounds like your husband's very, very good in the garden. I'm hearing him in the background. I wonder if he could dig down deeper and just see, you know, because when the house was built, you know, you've seen what happens. You know, all the rubbish and everything goes into around the house and then they put a little bit of soil on the top. So let's have a look at that and give me a ring again next week. Would you mind?
No, we can probably do that. Just had a few health issues at the moment, so it might be a bit longer than a week.
Oh, okay, rightio. Well, when do we close down for Christmas, Greg?
That's a good question.
Oh, that is a good question. Okay, Gail, well, keep tuned in next week and we'll mention when we're going to close down. But I really would like... Anyway, I know a lot about camellias. I love them.
Yeah.
And they do have to have an acidic pH.
Yes, well, we've built up the soil. We've added some sulphate, I think it is, and some compost and stuff to try and make it more acidic.
Right, so you used sulphate of potash, did you?
Yeah, and something else.
You didn't use poultry manure, did you?
No, not that I recall.
Okay. Rightio. Well, let's have a dig around.
Yeah,
and
I'll get back to you.
Yes, okay. I really would appreciate that, Gail. I love to be able to answer these questions, and there's a bit of a mystery going on in this one. So give me a ring back after your husband digs around.
Cheers. Thanks, Gail. We've got Steve now from Singleton, and he's trying to remove some paspalium.
We've got a property of about 2.5 acres at Singleton. And we're trying half the property's got grass, the other half has it. The section that does have grass is a very good couch, very, very solid couch. But it's starting to be taken over from paspalum. Now, I've hit it with Roundup just to spot check it and knock it out as best as I can. There's also another running grass in there that is looks a little bit like a cross between a triku and a
cooch?
Buffalo. Yeah, the buffalo. Right. But the cooch is going well. And if I hit it, well, it's coming back. But I just want to know. I know years ago you could get a paspalum spray. People tell me you can't get it now. But I do believe that another product called BSMA might work as well. So I'm wondering what your thoughts on that is.
I don't know BSNA, but I do know Antipass, which is the one you're talking about. And as far as I knew, that was still available. But Steve, you live in Singleton, you've got a property, so you could go to somewhere like AgServe, couldn't you? Businesses that sell to big properties and that, they're able to sell things in quantity and also things that you can't buy at your local nursery.
Okay.
So you have the ability, because you've got that property, to go there and see what's available from them.
And it's called Antipass.
Yeah, it was called Antipass, and as far as I knew, it was still available, but then, you know, you never know what happens. The government do bring in new restrictions all the time. But sometimes, now, I suppose Roga is a perfect example. You can buy that at one of the commercial ones, but you can't buy it anywhere else. Now,
Roga
is still being used for, tomatoes that are sold in the shops. All the fruit still get sprayed with Roga.
Okay.
So what I'm indicating to you here is, Steve, that you might be able to get something for the paspalum.
Yeah, okay then. So there is a warehouse, I think they call it a farmer's warehouse in Singleton.
Yeah.
They could very well have it.
They could possibly. Yeah.
Okay.
So
if not, I'll have a look otherwise.
Yeah. And, Steve, I'd really like to hear your results on that if you do manage to buy some, but I'm sure it's still available, particularly in your situation.
Yeah, I've just the areas that aren't seeded. I've just purchased some seed, and I'm going to try that as well with an RTF, a fescue. But having such a big property is a little bit difficult to get water to it to bring the germination through in 7 to 10 days. But anyhow, we'll give it a go and see what happens.
Yeah, please ring us back, Steve.
Shall do. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Bye.
We've got Jan now from Macquarie Hills, and she's got a question about roses.
Oh, my favourite subject, Jan. What can I help you with?
I think it's black spot stuff on my roses, and I can't get rid of it. I've tried different things, but yeah.
What have you tried, Jan?
Oh, I don't know, just things that it sprays that say for black spot and things.
Right, yeah. Okay. So have you got any sooty mould on it?
No.
No sooty mould, just black spot on the roses, on the shrubs, not on the actual flowers.
On the leaves, yeah.
On the leaves, yeah. Okay. Rightio, well, I think I'm going to have to put my thinking cap on and see what you could spray that with, but what did you tell me you have used?
There's about three things I use that just says about the black spot on roses, and the leaves go yellow and then they drop off.
Okay, now is this a pre-packed product? You know, you're not mixing it up, it's an instant spray.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Right here. Well, And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a bit of research and find out, would you be able to mix something up?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, can you give us a ring next week and right. I'll have that information for you, Jan.
Rightio. Then what is it, that little green grasshopper thing that chews the buds?
Uh-huh. I'm glad you brought that up. Of course, it was on our list today to talk about, but we haven't had a chance to do it. What you've got there is budworm. Nasty little things they are. Now, you need to spray every 10 days with Carbaryl.
Oh, righto, yeah.
And I'm not happy because they're on mine at the moment, so I tell you, tomorrow when the weather's hot, they're going to get a dose of Carbaryl.
Oh, righty,
Yeah, but no, this year they have been a bit of a problem. I don't know why, probably because the roses flowered later because of all the wet weather, I'm not sure. But Jan, definitely spray with Carbaryl for that and give me a ring next week, dear.
Righty, Ivan.
Okay. Thanks, Jan. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Got time for one more call. We've got Cheryl from Ashenfield and she's got a question about morayas.
Oh, how are you, Cheryl?
Hi, Judy. I'm good, thank you. I have two morayas that are like a border between my house and the next door. Now, they've been fantastic up until last year. Now, last year, all the leaves fell off and we ended up having to cut them back and then they reshooted. And about October this year, again, they've done the same thing. Now, I went down to Flower Power and I asked them what I should do for the soil and they told me to use this fertiliser. It's got like a dynamic lifter in it, but I don't know if that's the right thing because they've just got hardly any leaves at all.
Well, Cheryl, I would suggest cow manure.
Cow manure.
Because morayas like an acidic soil. And I'm not sure whether that product was acidic or whether it was alkaline. So let's get some cow manure. But have you dug around and seen if the witchetty grubs or cockchafers are eating the roots?
There doesn't look to be anything around them. I have dug around them and had a look.
Right.
But there doesn't seem to be anything there. But it just seems funny that it happened last year and again this year.
Okay.
They came back beautifully and now they've lost all their leaves again.
Okay, well, something's either eating the roots. Just tell me briefly, because we're running out of time. Are they planted on a boundary fence?
They are, but they've been there for about 12 years. They were really beautiful.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden they started to die.
Okay, well, let's try the cow manure and see
cow
if
manure.
That stimulates growth. And ring me back, Cheryl, please do.
Okay, no worry.
Thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers. Thanks, Cheryl. Guarding Talk back on 2NURFM. Judy, we've got about a minute and a half left. He had a big list here, but we only really knocked off the budworm.
The budworm, and that was one we needed to talk extensively about. But anyway, we mentioned it, didn't we? Okay, New South Wales Christmas bush are in bloom.
Okay.
Have you noticed?
No, I have not.
You know, they're the red flowering ones.
I still have not noticed. I'm sorry, Judy.
That's okay.
I need to start looking a bit more carefully.
From the train, you could.
I'm just thinking of what I can poison in my yard. That's the thing at the moment.
Oh, what about your...
I don't touch the chilies. They're fine.
Oh, the chilies are all right. I thought we could talk about those today, but we've run out of time. New South Wales Christmas books, if they're bright red in the gardens, and then you see some that are just pink. Now, my alert here is today, for the listeners, if they want to buy a new Christmas bush, you always buy them in flower. Because once they're pink, they're not going back to red.
That's a bit upsetting. Why is that the case?
Well, because the ones that are very clever, not very clever, but the ones that are doing the job, they have always been done by cutting. Okay?
Yep.
And so when you buy that plant and it's in flower, it's been grown by cutting. So you must buy it when it's flowering in red.
Right, yeah. So get it when it's flowering and red. Yep. Judy Sharp, we're out of time for another week.
Well, someone will ring us about this next week, that one.
Surely okay. They will.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.